No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Game number 80 in the books for the Winnipeg Jets. It's a 4-0 victory on home ice against the Philadelphia Flyers. Neither team with anything to play for, but the three of us always have something to play for, and that's you, our loyal viewing and listening audience. Gentlemen, good to see you both. Dave Manouk in the top right, and a man who knows how to operate a shop vac like no other, Ezra Ginsberg in the bottom middle. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Ezzy, good to see you. How are things in the soggy basement?
They're actually not bad. We got most of the water out. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who have it a lot worse than us, especially, you know, west of us and, you know, south of us. But my basement just really stinks. So yesterday we actually just put down a bunch of baking soda. But yeah, Saturday and Sunday were not very fun. And they weren't very fun for a lot of people, but hopefully we don't get any more water in the basement this coming weekend because it's expected to rain. But yeah, at this point, we're just trying to get the stench out. So we have the windows open and everything like that. But thank you for asking, because it was not a very fun weekend at the Ginsberg home.
No, I do not wish that upon anyone, least of all my worst enemy, and you don't fall into that category. So yes, I'm glad to hear that.
But I'm like your third worst enemy, or
yeah, like I mean, I'm like the Nixon of Illegal Curve. I have an enemies list, but it frequently changes. And you know, the scene from Billy Madison, if you want to go back to that, the Adam Sandler,
Steve Buscemi.
Yes, exactly. Steve Buscemi. Yeah. I'm glad I was nice to that guy, or whatever the line exactly is.
Just don't start putting lipstick on, Drew. That's all I ask.
Hey, look, we got to do something for the next couple games to make it interesting. That would certainly...
Yeah, we might have to put lipstick on that game, boys.
That would add a little bit of color to the game, certainly. Dave M., good to see you. How are things with your head on fire?
Furiously working, Drew. Furiously working, trying to get some stuff out, trying to get the socials done on illegalcurve.com. The Instagram, I'm failing miserably. It's kind of like Ezzy, but in our commercial, of course, not in life.
Just I was going to say, that was a bit of a harsh comment. I didn't know where that one came from.
If you pay attention to our commercials, Drew, maybe you need to listen with everybody else in the chat to our commercials, then you would know.
Didn't
what
Drew
I was
write the
about.
Commercials?
Drew doesn't remember what Drew did 5 minutes ago. So yeah. Commercials, I definitely, that was a little bit of a subtle line, though. I mean, and now that you mentioned it, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, I mean, I listen to the commercials because I think they're important, of course. Anyways, you know what the point is? I tried to get as much of the website up to date as I could. Lots happening, of course, Drew and Ezzy. I mean, I was walking into Canada Life. I just finished parking. I looked at my phone, and of course, I see Jets signed Chaz Lucius, and I was like, oh boy. And I'm like, furiously trying to get up posts. And I had an inkling. I had someone give me a little heads up that there might be something doings are transpiring with Lucius. And he wasn't too particularly pleased, I've been told, with what was going on in Minnesota. So I wasn't terribly shocked that this happened. But, you know, like I said, it still was noteworthy and newsworthy. And trying to get it up on illegalcurve.com as soon as I could, did so. And then, of course, walked into the building to watch a heck of a hockey game, or as I kept saying to the guys in the press box beside me, riveting, just riveting.
It certainly was not the most interesting of hockey games that we've ever watched. Very much what I think is going to be like Sunday's game between the Jets and the Kraken, two teams going nowhere. At least Friday's game against the Flames. Not that the Flames have much to play for, but it might be maybe marginally more interesting. But, at least if you want to look at
if you think the Flames are sending anything more than a C squad, yeah, it's going to be an exhibition game for the Flames at least. They're not taking any risks.
It certainly will be an exit. Dave, I'm trying to look at the bright side of things here. You got to throw me a little bit of a bone. And I guess the bright side for the Jets, aside from the score, we've talked about him all year. He's been a main topic of conversation. Eric Comrie, 35 saves for his first career NHL shutout, no matter what else happens in the course of his NHL career. And I would say the trajectory is pointing upwards in that regard. He's got an NHL shutout under his belt, and they cannot take that away from him. So very good. Good for him. We've talked about, just how nice of a young man Eric Comrie is. So it was, you don't cheer for an outcome. You cheer for people sometimes. And, when it was that power play in the last couple minutes of the game, I was definitely cheering for Eric Comrie to keep the shutout going.
Yeah, he really deserved that, right? And yeah, that power play at the end, like you could tell Josh Morrissey, like he really wouldn't have cared, right? Because they had the 3-0 lead. I think it was 3-0 at that point.
It was, then the
empty netter from Connor came after, right? But you could tell he was like, why did I do that, right? But Comrie, that's kind of like, the cherry on top of the season, right? Because heading into the season, some people had question marks, and I don't want to pat a legal curve on the, actually, I do want to pat a legal curve on the back, because, we, all three of us were saying this prior to the season starting. That's right. Pat the IC logo.
I'm trying to figure out how to pat a legal curve on the bat. It's like,
no, you do the Barry Horowitz. You do this just like always do. But I mean, look at, he's had a great season. He probably hasn't played as many games as some people would like. I mean, I would have liked to see, especially, when the Jets were in the meat of that schedule in March, what did they have, 16 games or 17 games in March? I probably would have liked to see Comrie get, one or two more starts at the very least, right? But yeah, I mean, he made 35 saves. It obviously wasn't, the hardest shutout of his career. And as you mentioned, he had to come up, pretty big on a couple of power plays that the Flyers had. But yeah, just a great guy. We're lucky to have him on the show a bunch of times going back to the TSN 1290 days. And all the guys on the ice and all the guys in the locker room are going to be super happy for Comrie.
Yes, exactly right. You could see the celebration. You could see the joy in Eric Comrie's face and in his teammates. Nice to see them. For what's been a terrible year for the Jets, nice to see at least some good things happening that they can celebrate as this season comes to an end on Sunday when it finally wraps up in that game against the Kraken. Let's get into the Betway game recap of tonight's Jets Flyers game. It's brought to you, of course, by our friends at Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront with a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds. What are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Winnipeg Jets opened the scoring in tonight's contest at the 5:23 mark of the first period. It's a power play goal. Pierre-Luc Dubois' 28th of the year. Assist Kyle Connor and Josh Morrissey. This game certainly was not an intense game between these two teams. And this goal by Dubois was sort of emblematic of the lack of intensity, as he just sort of walks out from the goal line completely unaccosted and just sort of shoots the puck, and it somehow goes through Felix Sandstrom, the Flyers goaltender, to give the Jets a 1-0 lead.
It's also not former LA Kings forward Thomas Sandstrom,
right?
Either, Drew, I don't know if you were thinking of back in the day. Sandstrom was a pretty good player. If you remember, I want to say I don't think he had a 50 goal year, but I want to say he had like maybe a 40 goal year. I'd have to hockey DB that, but yeah, I mean, you're watching that power play, and I'm pretty sure it was 10 seconds in that Dubois scored. But, he wins the faceoff, gets it back to Morrissey. Connor and Dubois are playing kind of catch there, right? And Dubois is in a familiar position to the left of Sandstrom. And you're right. I mean, it's just kind of the old spinorama. And it's like, okay, you're going to give me that much space. I'm just going to walk out and put it past Sandstrom. So, yeah, it looked really easy. And you wonder, why the Jets haven't been able to do that more often? Because that was, I believe, only their second power play goal in the last 7 games, something like that. Second in 8 games or second in 9 games. We know the Jets' power play has struggled over the last couple of weeks, right? So, yeah, just really nice individual move by Dubois, but way too much. The Flyers, I realize they're down a man there, but that was just too easy for Dubois to just walk right in front of the goaltender and put it in.
It certainly was, Dave. I mean, it wasn't pretty, it wasn't flashy, it was effective, but boy, it left a lot lacking from the Flyers' perspective, I would say.
Yeah, and I think it was somewhat emblematic of the game, as you attested to, Drew, just a few minutes ago, Drew. I think, you know, the reaction, it was kind of like, oh, the Jets scored. Like, the crowd almost was like, oh, okay, like, sure. And it wasn't a lot of emotion, you know, in that game. And, of course, I wasn't expecting it. But, yeah, I mean, a nice give and go with Kyle Connor and Pierre-Luc Dubois. And I think, again, one of those things you've established is that those two play well together. So that's probably a good thing for this Jets club, which has lots of question marks, you know, of course, heading into the 22-23 season. But Pierre-Luc Dubois sets his new career high for goals scored with his 29th of the year. 29th, 28th, 29th. I think it was 29. So I believe it was 28th of the year. Yeah. So he sets a new career high for himself. And of course, Kyle Connor, I believe with that assist, he got to the 90-point mark at that point. Of course, I know he got two more points in the game. So he hit 90 for the first of many times he's going to do that in his career, I suspect. But it was the first time he's done that. And the only other second just Jets player, obviously, other than Blake Wheeler, who's done, hit 91 twice. So Kyle Connor hits 90 for the first time.
And it doesn't seem like anybody's really talking about that either, Dave. Like, everybody knows that, you know, Connor's got a few more to go before 50, but yeah. You've been talking about that. So I give you props for that. But, you know, more people need to be talking about that. It's the best individual season in Jets 2.0 history, right? Like, you expect the goals. You expect, you know, Connor to be, at this point in his career, minimum 40. Maybe the new standard is going to be, you know, minimum 45 to 50. But yeah, the guy's even Steven. And as you mentioned, he's up 91 points on the season. So it's incredible.
92 now.
Pardon me, 92. Yeah,
because the empty netter. But no, I mean, it's...
And 46 goals, 46 assists. Is he, you know, that's a pretty good consistency. Like you said, even Steven there, is he?
Yeah, I mean, and that's just what he's been throughout his career. Like, he's just been that type of player. And it's one of those things we talk about, and we've mentioned it throughout the course of our show, is how good his passing is. It's something he doesn't get a lot of credit for because his shot is so good. But, I mean, you see it. He doesn't. It's not disproportionate, right? It's a fairly even number. I mean, obviously, I think he's got like 20 more goals than he has assists in his career. But overall, I mean, that's kind of the kind of player that Kyle Connor has been. And he's been like that since college, right? He's been a great goal scorer, but he can also – facilitate. So, I mean, his remarkable season has been just that remarkable. I thought it was appropriate. And I was talking to someone in the press box before the game began. And I said, you know, he's still on a quest for 50. And they looked at me like, you know, it's only three games left. How likely is it? I go, you know, he gets a hat trick against Philadelphia tonight, which isn't impossible given the team they're bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. And it's not out of the question, right? And he's at 46. You know, he's got a tougher game. But again, if Calgary brings a beast or a C squad, he could feast on that and he could feast on Seattle. It's not out of the realm of possibility. So I'm still in the camp of Kyle Connor hitting 50 goals this season. And it's a shame.
I think he's going to do it too. I'm with you.
And I just want to say quickly.
That's the kiss of death.
Oh, yeah. I think Manuk guarantee was okay.
No. I don't. I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think Connor's going to hit 50 goals.
Good job, Ezzy.
He's going to hit 48.
There you go. But what I was going to say is that it really is a shame, though, that he lost out on those three games for protocol because, you know, I think if he plays those three,
he'd be at 50 already, Dave.
He'd be at 50. And so it is a shame for him. But, yeah, I mean, Kyle Connor's season has been remarkable, and I just think it's one of those things that, like, I mean, we can't pretend like he's, you know, an under-recognized player in the NHL. I know people talk about that here in the province of Manitoba. And for people who don't live here but focus on the Jets, they're very aware of what this kid is bringing to the table each and every game.
Yeah, exactly right. And you know, a great performance by Kyle Connor this season. Unfortunately, you know, goes for naught given the Jets, so the rest of the Jets and their struggles. The Jets do make it 2-0 at the 7:33 mark of the second period. So the first 20 minutes ended with the Jets up 1-0. They make it 2-0 with the 5-on-3 power play. Nikolaj Ehlers, his 28th of the year, assist to Kyle Connor and Blake Wheeler. 5-on-3. Flyers team with nothing to play for. The Jets should take advantage of that, and they do. It took a while. It was a long 5-on-3, and it took into the last few 20 or 25 seconds of it, but Nikolaj Ehlers just really shot this through Sandstrom. It wasn't like he picked the corner, just sort of a hard wrist shot that somehow the goaltender just sort of missed out on.
Yeah, and what I thought was really interesting on this goal was And I agree with you. I mean, that wasn't the best shot, even though we know Ehlers has a lethal shot, quick release, everything like that. Mm-hmm. But right before that, Ehlers tried to find Wheeler, and then Wheeler didn't get all of it, goes into the corner, and Wheeler went to go get it. But then Connor was the one who actually comes out with the puck. And so I just thought Connor was amazing on that power play, just moving. And you kind of watch that power play and you're thinking, like, again, going back to, you know, what we said about the first Jets goal, like, why hasn't the power play been more successful? And it's easy for us to, you know, sit here and you know, after the Jets score a couple power play goals, it's easy to say, well, why can't you just do that every game? I mean, the Flyers, you know, penalty kill will definitely make any team's power play look good, right? But I just thought Connor, you know, this was kind of like Connor, Ehlers, Dubois, Wheeler, Morrissey. I mean, the top power play unit, they were kind of at their best tonight. It's unfortunate that they weren't able to do that on the road trip against, you know, teams like, you know, Tampa Bay, Florida, Carolina, and the Rangers. But yeah, I mean, that was just, you know, good work by Connor on that one. And you know, Ehlers just, you know, taking what he was given again, just a nice release right at the top of the kind of middle of the circle there. But yeah, Sandstrom, you know, a shot like that you should probably have, but we know that Ehlers has got a really deceiving shot. So the power play, I mean, gets full marks tonight for sure.
Yeah, certainly. You get two power play goals. One of them, the first one 5-on-4, the second one 5-on-3. Then they certainly have, they've earned their keep in tonight's game, Dave.
Yeah, and just one thing about Nikolai Ehlers, I really liked his comments today. I think if you didn't get a chance to listen to his media availability, you really should. Because I think, like, we talk about...
Where can people hear those comments, Dave?
There's a site called illegalcurve.com.
Oh, I'm familiar with it.
Pre-game report.
Jets I'm Flyers. Familiar. Okay.
So go to that. Go to illegalcurve.com. Watch the media availability with Nikolai Ehlers. Just, you know, one thing we talk about with Ehlers and Kyle Connor and the kind of the next wave of leaders on this team, and sometimes leader is an overused term, like, these guys are all adults. They should all be able to lead. But the point is that I thought his comments were very telling. I thought Nate Schmidt and Brendan Dillon's comments were very telling. But, of course, Nikolai Ehlers has been here longer than those guys. And I just thought it was very insightful and just talked about how they want to end the homestand, playing well for the fan. Because he was asked, he goes, I think it was Paulie Edmonds asked him, how important is it to get to 30 goals? And he said, yeah, of course. He goes, would I like to get to 30? Yeah. Would I like to get to 40? Yeah. But then he went on to speak about how important it is to play the right way and how the Jets – have to do a lot of work in terms of changing their mentality in advance of games. I just thought his comments were very interesting. They're very, and again, I know we're going to talk probably more maybe after the break and more on Saturday's show about those types of comments, but from a player like Nikolai Ehlers, I thought they were very insightful. So I would definitely give it a listen. And I just thought he did it again. Like, this is the kind of guy who you can build a team around. He's one of those key components, for a Jets club that is looking to retool Calgary-esque, if you will. And Ehlers, from what he's saying off the ice and for what he's doing on it, he's one of those players you build around.
Well, that's certainly, you mentioned Calgary, and that's certainly got to be the model for the Winnipeg Jets. They figure, you know, hire the right coach, make some very minor tweaks, and maybe they can have a bounce back year next year, like you're seeing from the Calgary Flames, who were very much in the same position the Jets are in this year. Disappointing year last year for the Flames. They go out, they hire Daryl Sutter, and, well, Bob's your uncle. Look what's happened to the Flames organization, and look what's happened to the Flames since then. They certainly are the best team in the Pacific Division all season long, and they're certainly not going to be an easy out come playoff time.
And Drew, Bradtree Living, you know, just quickly, I'm sure we'll talk about this, you know, once the first round of the playoffs gets started, because I believe, I'm not sure if Calgary's locked in to play Nashville, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be.
They're not locked in. It's either Dallas or Nashville. They are still going back and forth.
Yeah, I guess Dallas could finish higher than Nashville in that first wild card, right? I think most people are going to be picking the Flames, even though we know every year there's an upset. But
well, especially if Nashville's credit, without UC Saros.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Saros is having a Vezina.
Maybe the Connor Ingram show, is he?
Yeah, exactly. You know him very well from the American Hockey League, right? And the Canadian World Junior team, but. What I think is going to be really fascinating, guys, I don't know if this is being talked about a ton, but, like, you've got Matthew Tkachuk, who's a pending RFA, and you've got Johnny Gaudreau, who's a pending UFA, right? Like, you know, like a year ago, it almost seemed like a foregone conclusion that, you know, I know we're getting away from the Jets game here, but I just think it's going to be really interesting to see, because we know, you know, Tkachuk put up 40 goals, 100 points, right? Like, you know, you got to think he's going to be in the $9 million to $10 million range. And, you know, Johnny Gaudreau is also having a crazy year, a Hart Trophy like season. And he's probably going to be around $9 to $10 million a year. So I don't know if they're going to be able to keep both of those guys.
Well, certainly something to discuss, and we'll talk more about the playoffs and other teams on Saturday's show. That'll be a bit of a playoff preview show, because the only game that's the season ends on Friday for everyone except for the Jets and the Kraken. And you, boy, oh boy, do you know how excited the Kraken must be to have to fly to Winnipeg after playing on Friday for that epic Sunday afternoon tilt.
At least it's supposed to be like plus 11. That'll be okay.
I think it's supposed to be raining sideways, though. Maybe, you know, who knows what's going to happen. What plague is next to fall on us?
I think an actual Kraken is actually just going to come out of the Red River.
That might be. Do you see how much sewage they have to pump into that Red River? There might be some a Kraken that's living in there now. Something like 50 million gallons of raw sewage because of the storm. Something disgusting. It's in the free
press. Some of that was coming from my house.
So what you're saying, Drew, what you're saying is the fish I caught and ate out of the Red River was probably not the best idea.
Well, it was Blinky from the Simpsons episode, if you want to go back that far. It had three eyes just for extra flavor. Blake Wheeler made it 3-0 for the Jets. This one even strength out at the 15-15 mark of the second period. You talk about Nikolai Ehlers. Well, this is a Nikolai Ehlers beautiful pass by him and a good net drive by Blake Wheeler to make it 3-0. And probably the, you know, at that point in time, you sort of knew this game was over, because I don't think anybody thought Philly was going to be staging a 4-goal comeback in the third period.
That was one of the easiest goals Blake Wheeler is going to score. And not only, you know, Nate Thompson and Keith Yandle at the Jets blue line, they turn over the puck. And I'm not sure what Keith Yandle was doing there, but he basically just lets Blake Wheeler go. It's like, it's kind of like a play that we've seen a lot of times, and we've criticized the Jets, right? Like Mark Scheifele, you know, not being hard on the back check, right? But in this particular case, yeah, like Thompson and Yandle, just miscommunication or just a bad play. And you're right, Drew, Nikolai Ehlers with that speed, you know, starts it off in the neutral zone and then cuts to the left, goes outside. And yeah, we've seen that so many times. And again, Ehlers, another guy that we, you know and Jets fans know how good of a playmaker he is. But just a perfect pass. It's the definition of tape-to-tape perfect pass to Blake Wheeler, who, you know, finishes it off. But Ehlers was just fantastic tonight. And that's not a surprise, because he really has a bad game. But, yeah, that was just that was painful to watch, because the Flyers, it's like they just gave up. They're like, okay, whatever, just score again, go up 3-0. We don't care.
Ezzy, the question I have for you is, how were you able to get to the post-game show quick enough after you were grimy wearing the fake Gritty costume during the game? How were you able to make that change?
Is his name Grimy? Did he actually have like a fake name?
Well, that's what Harnarayan and Sam called him on the broadcast.
That was funny. At one point they showed Mickey Moose and looked like Mickey Moose was starting something with him. I'll take Mickey Moose any day of the week, by the way, though I like Gritty, but I don't think Gritty stands a chance.
I'm reliably informed there were numerous Gritties in the crowd, because
weren't you at the game?
Yes, but I could only see Big Gritty, and it was a mini Gritty. I don't know if you guys saw that on the broadcast, but there was a gentleman or woman wearing a Gritty costume with a young child sitting beside them. And so that was right across from where we sit in the press box in the lower bowl. I could see.
Like, can you even see the game, Dave? Like, if you're wearing that costume, there's, and you
paid. Well, the kid kept taking the hat, the helmet, the mask off.
He kept making all the stops.
Yeah, they kept making all the stops. So, but then I was told by someone who was in the crowd that there were numerous Gritties. So I didn't really pay attention.
Our boy Jeff is saying three.
Jeff is saying there were three of them.
Yeah, so there were numerous Gritties. Well done.
Are those homemade, do you think? Like, can you buy those, or are those homemade? Because if they are homemade, good on those people for making those. That's pretty
sure you can buy anything.
One of the Gritties looked like they were a little bit like a Gritty on crack, so I was a little bit concerned about that one. But
and also, Dave, I don't know what Drew's about to tell us that he's bought on the black market, but I think, you know, we should just, you know, stick to the Jets.
Yeah, like, seriously, Drew. What are you buying on the dark web these days, Drew?
I don't even know how to find the dark web. I keep looking for it.
You just Google dark web.
And then actually, when you Google it, for whatever reason, it brings you to illegalcurve.com.
We broke through from the dark side of the web to the regular web. The Jets, 4-0 was the final. Kyle Connor into the empty net. That's his 46th. That coming at the 19:22 mark of the third period. The Flyers.
Can we get how fast he was skating? Because I'm pretty sure Kyle Connor skated faster than I've ever seen anybody skate on an empty net goal. And obviously he's going for 50 goals, right? So he needed that one. But if you just go back and watch that, I was joking here with Dave watching the game at Dave's house, and you're like, Connor was just, he had so much time, but he was motoring there to make sure that he got the empty netter. But I mean, hey, look at, I mean, everybody, every, you know, every Jets fan or any fan of hockey, because regardless if you're a Jets fan, you want, you know, any player to hit 50 goals, especially, yeah, you know, when they missed three games and they would have, you know, hit it otherwise. Right. But I just thought that was funny that, you know, Connor was motoring so hard when nobody was around him around that empty net.
Look, it's certainly a nice milestone. It would be the first time in Jets 2.0 for anybody to get to 50 goals. So I think, yeah, everybody, look, this has been such a downer of a year and such a disappointing year for the Winnipeg Jets organization, and certainly even more importantly for their fan base. So if they can celebrate something by getting Kyle Connor by having Connor get to 50 goals, and for someone like Comrie to get a shutout, well, you take the victories where you can get them ultimately in a very disappointing year.
I think we need to arrange for Keith Tkachuk to be at Canada Life Center for that 50th goal. He needs to be there so he can kind of, you know, just pass the torch, so to speak.
I'll let you work on that there, Mr. Ginsburg. That sounds like a project you're willing to take on yourself. Very honorable.
I'm willing to take on any project. I have nothing to do. Like,
you have a basement project you have to work on now. We already discussed that earlier. That baking soda is going to have to get swept up off the floor at some point in time after it does its job. That's not going to happen.
Ripping carpet out is bad enough for anybody who's, you know, ripped carpet out of, like, we've got an old house, but there's nothing worse than when you rip carpet out and then you don't know that there's nails underneath the floor. I stepped on a few nails.
So Ezzy's got tetanus, everybody, so that you can look forward to him frothing at the mouth a little bit later.
Good thing he's in my house or anything.
Yeah, no, there you go, Dave. I mean, it's hard.
I'm immunized with tetanus. I'm good. I got my shots. Well, I'm good.
Let's make sure
I've got my immunization card.
Let's make sure those vaccinations are up to date. Let's just double check on that before we move forward. Anyways, that was
1986. I think I'm good. Yeah.
That was the Betway game recap brought to you by our friends at Betway. It's simple, fun, and safe to bet with Betway. So head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. When we come back, we talk about the Chaz Lucius signing. We talk about some of the comments from earlier today from Nikolaj Ehlers that Dave mentioned. Much more Jets talk to come. Don't go anywhere. What night is it? It's a Wednesday night. It's the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberger with you. We'll be right back after these commercial messages.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like H-E double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Hey boys, finding parking on game day shouldn't take longer than the Minuk minute.
It shouldn't take longer than 1 minute?
Yeah, less than a minute? I spend at least 20 driving around to find street parking. Or if I'm in a rush to the game, I'll shovel out 20 at a parkade.
You're both doing it wrong. There's this app called Grid Park. It lets you find and pre-book your parking spot on game days. And you can reserve your spot up to 1 month in advance. And guess how much you'll pay?
Tell me, Dave. You know I love a deal.
Ezzy, $5.
Come on, $5?
Yeah, and it's just 2 blocks from the arena.
The Grid Park app?
Yep, spelled G-R-Y-D Park. And you know what else?
There's more?
Our listeners get their first park free with the code FIRSTPARK.
Wow, so they just download the Grid Park app and pre-book their next game day spot for free?
Yeah, you got it, Ez. Promo code FIRSTPARK, only on the Grid Park app.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
For 3 generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. 9:45 Wednesday evening. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you. Quick update from Prince Albert. The Ice are losing. Hard to believe. I haven't said that very often. Prince Albert 2, Winnipeg Ice nothing. Prince Albert putting up a good fight after last night.
The Ice will still win that game.
they might.
You know, they won 10-1 last night.
I know it was one-sided. It certainly is the case. It was one-sided last night. So the Ice looking to put an end to the first round Western Hockey League series very quickly. Other out-of-town scores that I'm reliably, it sounds like Dallas and Arizona. Dallas had a commanding 3-0 lead. Sounds like Arizona fighting back 3-2. Now in the Lone Star State.
Dallas only needs 1 point, Drew, to clinch.
Dallas needs 1 point. Vegas and Chicago are tied 3-3 with 6.5 minutes to go there. Vegas needs to win. Dallas needs 1 point to eliminate Vegas. So there's your out-of-town scoreboard look for this Wednesday evening as it's coming down right down to the wire for the final couple games. You know, somebody asked me, I got a text message from a buddy, said, you know, which team's more disappointing, assuming Vegas misses the playoffs? The Jets or the Golden Knights? That was sort of an interesting question. It is a good question.
I think it's not as clear-cut, Drew, as some people might think. Like, I think most people would go with Vegas just because of the Jack Eichel trade, right? Like, you know, the Jets had a big trade as well, but it was last year, and it was different circumstances. Like, Vegas has mortgaged the future, you know, like, whether you want to talk about the Max Pacioretty trade, you know, or the Eichel trade. I mean, they were all in for the Stanley Cup. They weren't all in for, like, you know, getting to the second round or even the third round. This was, we're getting Jack Eichel because everybody knew where they were the weakest, up the middle, right? But I mean, the goaltending situation, I think you guys would agree, is what has really done them in, right? Like, wow. Robin Lehner, we were joking about it on the Saturday show. You know, there were some mixed reports, you know, Emily Kaplan of ESPN coming out and saying Leonard's season was over. And then Pete DeBoer, like, the same day or the next day, basically saying, like, no, we expect Leonard to, you know, be healthy in a couple of days. And then obviously, you know, Leonard's season is over. So the goaltending, I mean, and Brassois, you know, you're down to, you know, Logan Thompson, who's, you know, that's your third string goalie. And all due respect to him, like, he's just never, you know, played a lot of games in the NHL. So, I would say Vegas just because of just the amount of, you know, superstar talent on the roster. I mean, the Jets are also a cap team as well. So you can't really say that, you know, that, I guess that then the joke, you know, comes in that, you know, well, Vegas was, you know, $10 million over the cap and, you know, they somehow magically managed to get, you know, Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty back in there. And then they put all those guys on LTIR. But I'd have to go with Vegas, Drew, because even though the expectations were high for the Jets, they were higher for Vegas.
I would agree with you, Ezzy. I would also say Vegas plays in an easier division, or at least at the beginning of the season, people thought that the Pacific was going to be the easier decision, easier division, pardon me. And it looks that way.
Central's still a better division.
Yeah, it looks like the, you know, the Central is going to qualify five teams for the playoffs, and the Pacific's only going to qualify three. And if you would have said that Vegas is not going to be one of those three teams, I think people would have said, you know, would have been surprised by that development, and that's certainly not yet official, but depending on what happens in the last half of the third periods in Dallas and in Chicago, that very well may soon be an official end to the playoff chances for the Vegas Golden Knights. Ezzy, get me a tough duck hardest hitting comment while you're at it. Dave, you mentioned some of the comments earlier in the day that the players were making, while meeting with the media and the pregame skate and everything. And yeah, they're saying all the right things. So, I mean, in that sense, I guess, you know, they get credit for saying all the right things and not trying to pull the wool over anyone's eyes. To me, though, I mean, it's a little bit of a day late, dollar short situation from my perspective, you know, because I still remember it wasn't that many months ago where Blake Wheeler was addressing the team's struggles, and he came up with some cockamamie answer about how the Jets were a young team, newsflash, they're not, and two, how they had COVID situations, newsflash, everybody in the league did, and three, how there's never been a team that's faced as much adversity as they have, which just sort of made my head pop off the top. So, yeah, they get credit for saying the right things now, but I think it's a day late and a dollar short.
So what's the question?
Just my comment. You can pick up on that comment if you want. There's not a specific question there. It's just I'm not going to go gaga over their comments.
Drew was asking if you're soft, Dave. Are you soft?
You think I'm yellow? Is that what you're saying? You think I'm yellow, boy? No, I mean, look, you're right, Drew. I mean, I think that was one of the questions that someone asked. I don't recall who today in the media availability, but they said that. They said, well, why is this happening now? You know, and look, it's better that these guys answer honestly. Like, you know, people, I said that this is a sophisticated hockey audience. They're not going to have the wool pulled over their eyes and not understand what's happening. So these, you know, most folks know exactly what time it is, if you will. Usually it's time to watch the Legal Curve hockey show or the Legal Curve postgame show. And I just think it's just an interesting situation. It's not something we've ever really experienced with the Jets, because this is just, I've never seen a long postmortem like this. And that's just, it's making for an interesting Monday. Yeah, and
a postmortem when there's not even a mortem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, the body is still, I wrote that today in the papers. I said, it's weird because the body's still technically alive, even though they know they can't make the playoffs.
Technically, rigor mortis is where we're at right now.
Maybe. But the point is that the...
Sorry, was that too dark? We were talking about the dark web. I don't know, like...
No, that's fair.
If we see Ezzy come around... Dave, if you see Ezzy with embalming fluid in your house, it might be time to ask him to leave.
Sure. So, we know that the clean-out day, whatever you want to call it, is the final day of media availability, is expected to be Monday after the game on Sunday. We'll most likely be doing a show Monday night. So set your clocks, set your timers, set your schedules. We want everyone there. We want a big crowd. Monday night is our expect. We don't have it set 100%, so I'm dropping this on Ezzy and Drew a little bit, but we're hoping to have something for you guys sometime next week, but hopefully Monday.
Have you consulted with my agent?
No, because I'm your agent, so it's all good.
Let me check my schedule.
I know you're available.
I'm free.
Yeah, there we go. So the fact is that we'll be able to cover that a little bit in depth, and that'll be good times just to, you know, put a bow on the season. Maybe not such a nice bow on this season, but we'll be able to wrap it up with everyone on Monday. And then, of course, we'll still be doing our Saturday show. So there's still going to be plenty of Illegal Curve content. And, of course, the Moose will still be in the playoffs. Speaking of the Moose.
Oh, boy. Drew, hang on. You got to give me a little bit of a heads up there.
Gary.
Put on your antlers. It's time for the Manuk Moose Minute on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
I mean, when the all-time winner for wins for the Manitoba Moose gets his first NHL shutout, 10 NHL shutouts for Eric Comrie. And I was jokingly, I tweeted that, you know, the Moose staff will be very happy about that. And then subsequently a lot of texts. We are very happy about this. But it's not a surprise. I mean, he's so well regarded within that organization. I mean, obviously the same organization, but so huge kudos to Eric Comrie. And speaking of the Moose have two more games left. They're playing tomorrow night, final series against the Abbotsford Canucks. That starts tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and then Saturday at 2 o'clock. We have four tickets to give away for Saturday's game. So I don't really like giving away four tickets anymore. I think, you know, I'd rather give two and two. So if you want to go to Saturday's game, amazing seats, the Illegal Curve Zone, right behind the glass, the visitor's bench. They are incredible seats. You get to see the game up close and personal. And you can maybe have, maybe I make a little Illegal Curve sign. We'll get Jonathan, the Moose photographer. He'll get some pictures of you. We'll, maybe we'll get you on the screen. I'll talk to the Moose folks, my boy Colin Peterson. We'll get everything. We'll work whatever we've met.
Dave, is this a Moose game, or are we making like a short film?
I think Dave's making promises I'm not sure that he can fulfill.
Yeah, I'm not so sure I've got the currency to do that either, but let's just throw it out there. So if you want to go to the Moose game on Saturday, make sure you send me an email, dave@illegalcurve.com. If you want two tickets, I'll hook you guys up. And yeah, it should be a really good game. Moose aren't really having anything to play for. Moose are locked into the second spot, which they established over the weekend. They'll either play Rockford or Milwaukee, which interestingly enough is going to come down to Friday night when those two teams battle out to see which one will be the third place team and which place will be the fourth place team. We don't know when the playoffs are going to start. I know people are already asking me, Darwin. Okay, well, you got to send me an email, dave@illegalcurve.com, or at slide into my DMs. I see Dave. But we don't know when the playoffs are going to start. The AHL is a little unusual in the sense that it's not a traditional playoffs. Basically, the worst two teams from every division are cut out. Then they have a first round. The first round in the Central is two teams. It's going to be Texas, who beat the Moose yesterday 4-2, versus either Rockford or Milwaukee. And then the winner of that will go on to play Chicago. And the loser – sorry, the, yeah, and the loser is then going to end up – so the loser plays Texas – and then they'll play Chicago, and then the winner will go on to play the Moose, and that'll be in like a division semifinal, if you will, and so that'll be a best of five. We don't know exactly when to start, but to that point, we will have tickets to give away for the Moose playoffs as well, so if you want to go to the Moose playoffs, I don't have those tickets to give away, so don't message me yet, but the Moose, and just quickly.
See, Dave, you can talk about the tickets, but you don't have the tickets to give away.
That's right.
It's easy to talk about the tickets, but you actually need to have those tickets to give away.
That's a good point. But I just want to quickly now, I've offered the tickets. We've got tickets to give away. I'm not going to go too long, but we do have to talk about some debuts because Daniel Torgerson, the 2020 second rounder of the Jets, he made his Moose debut on the road, as did the 2019 fourth rounder, Henry Nikkanen. I have to say, you might want to watch these guys up close and personal. You don't get too excited for a couple of guys, you know, making their debuts here in North America, but both players are really interesting guys to watch. So I have to tell you, like, Torgerson scored his first AHL goal yesterday early in the game. And I think this Moose club is going to be a lot of fun to watch. And, of course, they had Wyatt Bongiovanni. He also made his pro debut, the captain of Quinnipiac. He recently signed a ELC. He's on an ATO with the Moose. So a lot of young guys, a lot of young faces. Chaz Lucius, again, who signed tonight. He's got his three-year ELC with the Jets. That's going to start next year. There was some thought, but the Jets didn't announce that he signed an ATO. So my suspicion is that Chaz Lucius is probably still dealing with the injury that prevented him from playing with Minnesota. So there's a lot of speculation, guys, right? We don't know if Chaz Lucius is going to sign and play them or if he's going to go to Portland and play in the WHL. So there's a lot of options for him, a lot of options. Right. He's going to be talking on Friday. And we'll all be on that. So we'll have that available on illegalcurve.com. And hopefully we're going to have Chaz on our show on Saturday. So we'll see about that. We're going to work out the logistics.
Well, and one thing to note too about Chaz Lucius, though, he could in theory play WHL and NHL next year, right? Like, you would think that would come at the end of the season, right, Dave?
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's going to play in the WHL. Yeah. But he can't play. You can't play college and NHL.
That's right.
In a similar type of fashion. So just something to note, because I don't think we should be penciling Chaz Lucius in as a third liner for the Jets, because he's only 19 years old. I think he's turned 19. So yeah, it's a good sign that, you know, he's ready to turn pro. And
well, I think this is a sign
to playing for the Jets.
you know, to what Dave, you were saying, the rumblings that things may not have been all hunky-dory within the Minnesota Golden Gophers program. I think that's why this signing is more about that than it is necessarily about him being ready to step into the NHL level.
Yeah.
By having him sign, and this is from our buddy Chris Peters, and you know, we all know how locked in Chris Peters is. With Chaz, I'm reading this verbatim from his Twitter feed, and I think Chris is actually at the under-18s, if I'm not mistaken, right now.
He is, yeah.
With Chaz Lucius signing with Winnipeg, they have options. Can start him in the AHL or loan him to WHL Portland. That's the Winterhawks. Mm-hmm. Ladder may end up being the better step at this point. Rumblings for weeks, Lucius was exploring his options, mm-hmm. including the transfer portal, which means transferring to a different NCAA team, call it a different school. But he signed instead, giving Winnipeg say in his future, you know, in the immediate future. So there you go. That's from Chris Peters, you don't expect to see Chaz Lucius in the Jets lineup to start the year next year, but it's just another sort of stage in his development, especially if he thinks that development was being curtailed to some degree at the Minnesota Golden Gopher, at the college hockey level.
That's right.
Because it was a bit of a disappointing year for him, injured. And, you know, again, when you're 18 playing college hockey, you don't always step in and have Kyle Connor-esque kinds of seasons.
But just remember this. I mean, he's a Minnesota kid. I know he's born in Kansas, but like he's a Minnesota kid, grew up. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys dream about playing, you know, in that environment, playing for Minnesota, like especially an organization like, you know, playing for the Minnesota Gophers. I mean, that's a big thing for a Minnesota guy. So for him to like choose to leave that, the little birdie in my ear was giving me a heads up that wasn't all smiles and, you know, sunshine over there. And it'd be interesting to see what happens with his brother Cruz, who's also a commit to Minnesota. And we'll see if he sticks around and stays with that program, because, hey, maybe Cruz Lucius, who he's at the tournament that Chris Peters is in. I think he had 3 assists in a USA win. So be very interesting to see what happens with Cruz. Chaz and Cruz, though, let me tell you, like I said, he was a good kid. We had a lot of fun talking to him when he got drafted by the Jets last, whatever it was, like 10 years ago.
It wasn't quite 10 years ago.
It was my birthday, July 24th.
There you go.
Good exactly. point, Ezzy.
Actually, no, I think day one was the 23rd. The second day was the 24th.
There you go. Thank you for clarifying that. Update on the out-of-town scoreboard. The Coyotes have battled back. They were down 3-0. It's now 3-all with 6.5 minutes to go in Dallas.
Did Kessel score?
Kessel did not score. Strahlman, Goss Despair, and Barrett Hayden for the Coyotes. And then they're in overtime in Chicago. The Golden Knights need the victory. 3-all right now between Vegas and Chicago. So if Vegas is able to win that game in overtime and the Stars end up choking this one away to the Coyotes with under 6 minutes to play, you know, callers will be getting a little bit tighter in the Lone Star State.
So again, Drew, they only need 1 point. They just have to force it to overtime.
Force it to overtime, but they blew a 3-0 lead, Ezzy. So I think
the fact that the Stars are having to force the Coyotes to overtime to get 1 point to make the playoffs just shows you how, you know, the Stars should have locked this up a long time ago. We talked about, like, last week they had those 2 games in Calgary and Edmonton. They lost both of those games. Mm-hmm. Dallas, they want to take the hard way. It could have been so much easier. They should have had this locked up a long time ago. But
well, and it's funny, Ezzy, because of course, the Texas Stars clinched a playoff spot with the win yesterday over the Moose. And obviously the headline on the site was Stars clinched playoff spot, you know, on the strength of on the power play. And it was amazing how many people were reading this. I mean, the story does usually all right, but like there was a lot of interest in that story. And I was like, and it hit me. I was like, well, I said Stars clinch playoff spot. And, you know, of course, hey, it's not my fault you named your AHL organization the same as your NHL organization. But I mean, that is the reality. So I suspect
it's the only team that has that, right?
No, well, the Canucks, Abbotsford still, you know, and Vancouver. So
they used to be the Heat.
Yeah, they were the Heat. Yeah. That's the they bring the Heat. Now it's Drew who brings the Heat.
That's what we do here on the Illegal Curve post-game show, is we bring the heat, and all you people in the audience, the good audience that's joining us both live on YouTube and in the podcast, you feel the heat that we bring on a regular basis here on this program. Ezzy, tough duck, hardest hitting comment. Who's getting it tonight?
Yeah, lots of good comments. We always appreciate all the comments. Thanks for joining us. We know that these last few games are a little bit tough with the Jets being eliminated from playoff contention. But we are going to give it to Flying Dukes. I sent you the comment there. There you go. You got it. I just like this nice and simple comment. Comms has been spectacular the last three games. And you know I'm a simple guy, Drew. So
I was going to say, simple. The simpler, the better for us here on this program.
Simple is as simple does, as they say, right? So just finished off that comment. Awesome to see him rewarded. And we talked about that in the first 10 minutes of the show. And Dave and I were, talking about that as well. Like, aside from Kyle Connor chasing 50 goals, I mean, there's not a lot of reasons to watch these last three Jets games.
Except to participate on the show, Ezzy.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm joking, half joking, right? But Comrie is one of those guys that all year long, from the start of the season, he's given the Jets some excellent goaltending. And I think, we're not the only ones that, would have liked to have seen him play a little bit more. And look at when you're playing behind, a former Vezina Trophy winner, I mean, that Hellebuck is going to get the majority of the starts. But I think at the very least, Comrie has earned himself the backup job for next year. I mean, we'll wait and see what happens. But I think you guys would agree, and a lot of Jets fans out there would agree that, Comrie has earned that, and he has silenced a lot of doubters. So anyways, Flying Dukes, good name, by the way. Send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, or you can slide into my DMs at ICSEG, and Tough Duck will ship a toque out to you. It's getting a little bit warmer. But even if you're not going to wear the toque, I mean, you'll get the toque, at some point next week. But you can always just, put it in the basement for next year, put it in the closet
Dave
for next year.
I've seen Dave M. wear a toque in the dead of summer. Dave
you can never, I mean, look, we're Canadian. You can never have enough toques, right?
That's true. You never know when you're going to need a toque. I mean, earlier today I was doing I did a little down vest with a toque. Got to keep the head warm. I don't have a lot of hair there. So you can always use a toque. I agree with you entirely there, Mr. Ginsburg. Congratulations to the winner of the Tough Duck Hardest Hitting Comment. And congratulations, of course. Big thank you to all of our sponsors. They make the post-game show. They make the Saturday show. They make the website a possibility. Our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, how about this for Rumors? They had sold-out shows last week for Jay Farrow, and they have sold-out shows. Last night they had two shows. Tonight they have two shows, all sold out for Jay of Jay and Silent Bob fame at Rumors. So how about that? Great job to our friends at Rumors. Great job to all the comedy loving folks here in Winnipeg, supporting live comedy, supporting live theater. So really appreciate that. Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, they are a sponsor of the game recap. Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rollies Transfer, and Grid Park support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. 30 seconds to go in Vegas and Chicago. Looks like they might be off to a shootout. Shootout to keep your playoff chances alive. How about that for a little bit of pressure?
Still, what about the shout out to Craig Penner? He's in Thailand and he's watching the show. Pretty awesome.
There you go. We have a couple of. So is John Chan is in Thailand as well. We're huge.
Singapore
in Thailand. Singapore. Yeah, he's you're in right.
Singapore. Come on. Sorry. Come on.
Sorry, John. Sorry, John. Sorry, John. But thank you.
Apologize in Asia for God's sakes with that one.
Apologize to both of you, and thank them all, and thank everybody wherever you're watching this show. We've appreciated it all season long. Game number 80. We got two games to go. We got a show on Saturday. We're gonna have a garbage bag day show probably coming up on Monday night.
We're gonna stuff you in a garbage bag, Drew.
There you go. That will work. We got moose coverage. We got ice coverage. We got it all covered here on Illegal Curve, both the podcast, the YouTube channel, and of course, illegalcurve.com, the website. Thanks to all of you for joining us tonight. Smash the like button if you haven't already done so. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends. Tell your family. The best place to be after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. And again, on Saturday mornings is the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsburg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Friday night at around 9:45 p.m., we wish you good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve postgame show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.